everybody. It's your boy, Rail, back with another review, man. Hey, this is Power Book 3, Season 3, Episode 2. All right, before we get into that, man, salute to the Discord gang, man. Salute to all those listening on Apple and Spotify podcasts, and of course you, the viewer, and a special shout out to all those that purchased the merch, supporting the movement. God damn it. It's because of y'all, man. Love it. Love it. And I know times is tight, man. It's the holiday season. I couldn't have picked a worse time to want to do it, but they'll be up there, and I got a new joint dropping, but that'll be it for the year until next year. So yeah, be on the lookout for that. And of course, man, even if you ain't got it to support, I know you got me, and if you don't, then I understand, because, baby, I ain't got it either. Two kids? Girl? Family? Yeah, no. Hey, I understand. You know how you can support me if you ain't finna drop that dollar? You ain't finna drop them dollars? Like, subscribe, and share to those like-minded individuals that's into this show. You can help me build, baby. Let's do it. Anyway, let's get right to it. Now, last episode, last review, I had a lot of questions. I was like, damn, how is Rock just going to quit? The other detective is dead. I don't know how it's going to work out. Then we got the serial killer out there running around and Unique's brother. And I'm like, what about the mob? Huh? How does the mob feel about all this? I was asking about Juke's profession. When is she going to start policing shit? When does that career start? Literally, last review, that was all my questions. This week, one episode, all questions answered. They wrapped it right up in the bow. I was like, well, damn. But okay, let's still talk about it since they took care of everything for me because of all the confusion I had, which is very unique, no pun intended, in a Power series to answer my questions perfectly. Like, they're setting it up perfectly, and I'm excited for what might come. Just what might come. So we have thing one, Juke. All this time, I wanted to be a professional singer. Like she was a booster, you know what I'm saying, going through her sexual orientation, if you will, what she's into. You had a lot of backstory going on Juke, but there was no, in her, like, petty crimes, mind you, we saw their relationship with her and Detective Burke. We saw, like, they had, like, a kinship thing going on, so I thought she would usher Juke into the career of policing. But instead, she may have nudged her a little bit. I was thinking that it was going to be a full-on escort. Like, let me save you, Juke. You and this family, you own bullshit. Let me take you under your wing. However, Burke got a couple of wings of her own. She's flying high. Birds flying high. She's with the angels. Okay, Howard. Detective Howard put her right out. And he gave a beautiful eulogy, by the way, which is the sickest shit. But I'll get into that in a second. Like, we're not going to pass that over. That was nothing slight. But, okay, so Juke has all them army recruiters. If you've been in high school, you've met a few. You've ducked out on a few. Huh? When they was coming to talk to your class, you probably fell asleep. Or you stepped up to the call and was like, you know what? Fuck it. Huh? What branch of the armed forces? I'm with it. Okay, if you did that, then God bless you, because it wasn't my black ass. I tell you that much. I was like, what? Go where? Do what? How? Cut my hair. No, all those things, not wit. No. I've seen all the war movies, and let me tell you something. Nothing looks fun. Not even a TV series. Band of Brothers. What? No, no thank you. Saving Private Ryan. Are you sick? That could have been a more sad-ass Fury? With the tank battles, like I could go on. It ain't for real, but it makes for excellent cinema. But you know what? Salute to the armed forces, man. Y'all real ones, cause your boy ain't. But anyway, so Juke runs into that, and I guess she I was watching this episode and I really don't even know what motivated her. Maybe it was her getting like tossed out by her guidance counselor. Like they know anything. If you're a guidance counselor out there, come on, do better. I mean, like what kids have you actually helped? I think the guidance counselors are like for those who really ain't got shit going, that really needs guidance and or counseling, like for sure. So I take that back. But you know, for people that might have a bright future, you might ain't got much to tell them. And Juke, who knows what kind of future she had? Maybe her guidance counselor was on point. Like, yeah, with your grades, fucking join the army. Like, why not? So we see her now going into there, signing up, and we all know when she leaves to go away, when she comes back, one of the top jobs for somebody that served is law enforcement. So I'm assuming that's what Juke is going to do once she gets back. So this is her journey there. I can foresee some tough conversations about her wanting to join, her leaving. Marvin probably ain't going to be the biggest fan. If he's alive, God, please let Marvin be alive. I'm not ready for him to go yet. Plus, it looks like another brother is ready to check out. So yeah, they answered that question. That's how Juke got into her profession, through that channel. So okay, we got that wrapped up. Then we got, because I'm going to save the good stuff for last. Let's talk about Detective Howard and his beautiful eulogy. That is some fucking sick-ass sociopath serial killer shit. Like, he blew her brains out and then gave a eulogy that brought her father, her fucking ex-girlfriend, who knew all the dirt about him from pillow talking with Burke. He had the power to bring her to tears. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was crazy. And the sickest shit is, he really believed what he was saying. I mean, I guess he ain't tell no lies. I mean, he omitted a few things, like, yeah, that whole, or no, he lied. Talking about maybe she wouldn't have did what she did. Nigga, what'd she do? Record you? Because she damn sure ain't shoot herself, but I think that's going to be an unsolved mystery. Close the case on that one. And I think he's going, and I think Howard is like free to move about, because it's something to this whole, that one police officer that was dirty and is like the hell of criminals getting out on the street. But I don't know. Was it all just to let Ronnie out? Which is a whole nother monster we're going to get into. But it poses a good distraction. So whatever the fuck Howard had going on and Burke was on his ass, he seems to be safe from. So he's good to go. He's good to ride and look at his son weirdly while he's on the porch and hanging out. I don't know what that was about. He gets to show up with Rock and have very cringeworthy conversations. And I guess he's going to be like their inside guy. I'm not seeing his true role in things because they tried to kill. Howard is a dog. I don't see Howard dying because they had too many opportunities to kill him. You had the, what was it, lymphoma or cancer of the, he had like a serious ass cancer and miraculously was healed. Then he got shot in his chest while still healing from said cancer from his son and survived. Then he had a case on him, murdered his way out of that. I think Detective Howard is here for the long haul. I truly do. If anything, it'll be a season finale with his death, or he'll just be around, or like, you don't get disbarred as a police officer. What do you? I guess you just get fired. Maybe he'll get fired from being a detective for like saving Kanan. Like, I don't know, but I don't see his death. That's what I don't see. What else we got? Let's talk about one of the criminals that got let out. See, you watching like I am with this Ronnie character. Ronnie. The best thing about Ronnie is first his silence, right? And his seriousness. The other thing is the fear that he strikes into Unique's baby mama. Like, I don't know what Unique not understanding. Maybe he too busy being deep up in rack buns. Huh? he's got a lot going on. So he's missing this thing where his baby mama's telling him, like, look, nigga, me and your son is scared of your brother. Talking about the nigga was downstairs watching TV, but the TV wasn't on. Why she set us all up for that? I gotta be honest, I ain't like that. But she did a lot of dramatic buildup for no reason. She, when Unique come in to have that conversation with her in the bedroom, why the fuck did she start slow dragging this? She went ahead and said, yeah, so your son go downstairs and see Ronnie in the couch in the dark watching TV. Now, you probably thought like I did. So, I'm like, literally, we all doing that right now. We're watching this show. Like 90% of us is watching this show on our couch in the dark, watching this. So I was like, what the fuck is Shorty's problem? Like, she's bugging. And then she shares, and then as Unique is like, yo, what's the problem with that? Like, he loves the shows at night. She goes, but the TV wasn't on, Unique. And then we're like, I don't know if you thought like I did. It was two reactions you could have went with. A, damn, this nigga crazy. Sitting up in the dark. That's a little creepy. Just staring at nothingness on the couch. Sure, your brain could have been like, oh, yeah. Second thing, your brain could be a little weirder and work like mine. And your next thought is, bitch, so he wasn't watching TV. What the fuck? Why the fuck would you tell me he's sitting in the couch on the dark watching TV, but there was no fucking TV on? Why wouldn't you just say he was sitting down in the dark on the couch with nothing on, just wide awake? Just fucking stop the dramatics. Like, that's exactly where my brain went. So I really don't like Unique's baby mama for that simple fact. You see how quick it takes for real to not fuck with somebody? Like, why? Don't you hate people like that? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Why did you do all that? Like, it was above me. But anyway, so Unique feels like, all right, my brother's having some troubles acclimating to society. He's been in jail a long time. What do jail niggas like? There's food, right? Love to get a real meal. I mean, you spend all that time in jail. And if you were straight when you went in or straight when you came out, you probably want some lady buns. So Unique, in his brain, thinking his brother's a regular person, like a just whatever, is like, you know what? I'm going to take my brother out to go have a good time. First, let me tell you something. Unique is the worst. He has no, I don't know what he remembers of his brother, but it feels like he has no clue of him whatsoever. And Unique is the type of nigga that takes you places that you ain't dressed for. Like, why would you let your bro run out? You ain't buy him no new clothes. You ain't get him hip with the time. So instead, you just let him dress himself. Right? Take him to a club where jeans aren't allowed. Now, that was next level shit. Now, clubbing in Chicago, I've been sent away from the door for several many reasons. No collar, fucking hat, shoes ain't right. Never once have I heard no jeans allowed. If I ever heard that, I was like, you really just don't want niggas up in here. But okay, no jeans allowed. So Unique takes his jean-wearing brother to a non-jean party. So fuck you, Unique, out the gate. I was like, why? And then why would you take a nigga like Ronnie to the club? So you in there popping shit. You see he's uncomfortable sitting there. What do? You take two just women having a good time and you ruin everybody's night. The lady's having a good time. You see your brother weird as fuck. So your thought is, let me send some chicks over there to ruin their day. You ruin Ronnie's. He even pushed the bitches up off him, right? Spilling drinks, making a scene, is looking crazy up in there. Then the ladies is like, damn, we was about to turn up. Like, we was finna tee up. And your brother crazy. So now you got everybody looking crazy. What? Let me tell you. I've only known Ronnie for like two episodes. But I got an idea of what, I don't know what type of activities a nigga like Ronnie might like. Taxidermy. I don't know. He looks like a meticulous dude. He looks like he likes dead things. Preferably killed them himself. And then, like, shapes them and puts them as little trophies. Like, Ronnie doesn't look like the club scene guy. Like, And it's just not his steez. And the way he was staring at that doorman for talking unnecessary shit. Like, bro, why? Okay, you stopped him at the door. You know what I'm saying? You invoked your I'm tough fucking club bouncer man routine. You did that. You need to come through, smooth it over, let your mans in. And instead of you letting it go, you go ahead. Is nobody seeing this nigga? Like, why do they think Ronnie is somebody to play with? So now Ronnie is looking past the ass. He don't want nothing to do with them women. He want that nigga. And to be honest with you, I don't know for real what kind of way Ronnie wants him. It looked like he want to tie him up, fuck him, and rob him. I don't know. Maybe kill him at the end. And not in no particular order. Ronnie is a he's a wild card. We see who his first body going to be. And I think it's going to be brutal. Because just his ominous presence is building up for some sick shit. And if we know power, like we know power, they love to put a psycho nigga in there. Need I remind to tell you the BMF shit with that crazy villain, the Black Jason on that? They love a black villain in doing some weird, creepy, nasty, dark shit. And Ronnie is checking off all those things. So, yeah. Unique is fucking stupid. I don't know. He just unleashed something that was dormant. But he also is pretty smart. He out here fucking Rock, so he got the inside on that. He's getting some side ass from her, and she's like a queen pin that's retiring. Perfect time for you to slide on in, maybe even take over a few of those buildings. She's getting out the game. You never had thoughts of getting out the game. So what do? After y'all got kidnapped in the mid of dark, which I thought was dope. I thought that whole scene was dope. Them two hanging out, enjoying some pecan ice cream, and then the mob just running in for them to have that one-on-one conversation with, what's my man's name? Big Fish? Stefano. So, I like how they wrapped up the mafia thing. Because I don't see how that wasn't going to be an ongoing war. But it was perfect. Sal is fucking up. Stefano has nothing to do with the Jersey family. He runs New York shit. So, how about this? You go take care of Sal, because, you know, it's wise guys and same. You can't kill each other. That's the rules. Can't knock off a maid guy. But somebody that has beef with him, you can help assist in that if you want him dead. And wash your hands clean. So Stefano already set that up. And Rock is finding a way. They made a mob. Power Book 3 made it Mafia versus Rock, which was going to be fucking tricky because the Mafia is not some street gang that's going to be wrapped up overnight. They did it beautifully. They bagged out of the mob war perfectly. Hey, kill the nigga that tried to kill you. Me and you got no more business. We square. Square biz. So Rock has successfully exited the mafia shit with that hit on Sal. And it opens the door for Unique to take over, or at least associate himself with that and get his own connect. Which answers yet another question. How was Rock finna just dub the cartel and be like, yeah, I'm not selling drugs for you no more? Actually, quite easily. She made friends with the main dude in charge and the girl that was acting all sadity, who is all of a sudden not liking Rock because I guess she teamed up with Unique. I can understand that. Unique did hold her prisoner or fake kidnapped her just to make a point, just to be like, you know, get some attention. He was attention seeking. And, oh girl, I don't think she's so more mad at Rock about linking up with Unique as she is that when she sees Rock, I think she feels like that scared woman that was getting her ass beat by her husband in that corner store, in that bodega. I think Rock's face is a constant reminder of where she was and how weak of a woman she was. And, you know, when you trying to shed yourself, you try to shed yourself everything. When you're trying to grow into your new person, you just try to forget that old, dusty you and be like, that person ever existed. And I feel like that's her real beef with Rock. And when Rock put in her place, like, look, you don't want to fuck with me. You know we've been there. And when she was sat at that table shutting the fuck up, dude found it quite enjoyable. And gave her an open door policy. Hey, it's cool. You want to leave? No problem. We wish you well. We did good business. And if you want to come back, if you want, you are welcome anytime. We'll keep the business going. I said, well, goddamn. Power 3 has set it up perfectly. All questions answered. All old storylines from last season dead. Dead in episode 2 of season 3. Beautiful. Well done. Great transition. Now, to the nitty-gritty, what I am very excited for. You remember last review, I was talking about how I was hoping Kanan would maybe link up with like a Unique. So we see Unique going on his own path about to serve heroin with the Mafia. I'm pretty sure that deal is going to go through. And we see Rock getting out. And we see Kanan on his own. So I'm like, perfect matchup. What I didn't see coming was Marvin. While Lulu is out here crashing out, going from the right hand of Rock to her biggest op right now. Like, she's got everything smoothed over with everybody except for Kanan and Lulu. Even the Mafia, the cartel, nobody got beef with Rock except her brother and her son. So that should tell you a lot about Rock. But despite that, Lulu is just getting drunk, fucking shit up, where Marvin was the fuck up. So we spoke about that. So when I saw Kanan and I saw the trajectory of Kanan and I saw Unique, I thought they would be a nice combo. What I didn't see and what we might see is the Marvin and Kanan connection. Yes, follow me, follow me. Marvin is out there. We see that he linked up with two dudes that was eye fucking him the whole night just to buy a coke, like buy some crack. Like, that was crazy. They definitely, I thought that was like a mob hit or like watching them or some shit. But Marvin took care of several things. A, he took care of Sal for Rock. He made a successful hit in a beautiful assassination, by the way. The fact that Marvin has surprised me greatly. Like, he is my favorite character. Hands down. Motherfucker's funny. He's got the best storyline. And he put in that work. Dressed up as a post office man, linked up with the dude that is in a wheelchair, that's his wheel man. That's that there. I mean, come on. A man in a wheelchair is your wheel man. Look, come on. You can't make this up, people. Oh, I guess you can. They did it. Anyway, so Marvin got him a little partner he could trust. And he comes up with a brilliant idea of dressing up as a post office man, smokes dude, smokes another guy, get out of there in the post truck. And the post office truck, done. So I thought that was a great little side mission for this episode. That was perfect. And in him doing that, gives him the freedom to do a new venture. Now, he's going to take the drugs to the rich whites, to the Wall Street. Them dudes was like, yeah, those Wall Street dudes love getting high. You got coke, right? Yeah, come on, let's do it. They even had that little funny scene like, hey, just because I'm black don't mean I sell, you know what I'm saying, drugs. But I am, in fact, black and I sell drugs. But not because I'm black, bitch. So I enjoyed that. That was funny. But Marvin, after doing that hit, asked Rock's permission to, hey, I got some leftover keys. I don't know if I could just, you know what I'm saying, flip these real quick. I got a little thing I got going on. Because we know the police is on the buildings. So the buildings is a done deal. Police is on top of that. They're going to be watching all activity. So the Carters are probably done for. And Rock is like, fuck it, much more of a hassle than it needs to be. We got enough money. Good to get out. Smart if we all thought she was telling the truth, which we don't think is the case. Now, I can see Marvin starting the same where Kanan is, from the bottom. I believe Marvin is now about to create his own little, like, drug empire. Take this little leftover keys, probably be looking to maybe a Unique or maybe even talking to Rock for her connect and taking over Wall Street and the main streams of New York. And I can see him working with Kanan. Kanan, I love how they got him start from the bottom, because the Kanan we all know, from the OG Power, right? The terrorist that raised Ghost and Tommy. That wasn't the boy that we've been seeing in season one, right? Somebody who has had all the good clothes. His mama gave him all the good clothes. He was like an heir to a drug throne, like a drug legacy. His whole family was top dogs in the city. He was just like a spoiled little boy, super smart. This ain't the Kanan we came to know and fear. Not this Kanan, not the lean sipper, not the one who sipped lean to get back right after being shot. So they showed his despise for his mother, and it seems like they're finna stand strong on that. And he's choosing a life of struggle with Famous. He could easily go to that fat-ass crib in the burbs with his mama, drive that new red joint with the gold BBSs, do it up big. He want to get it out the dirt. He want the respect. So he finna start the bomb and sell weed, and now he sees a new venture in the courier business. He out there, like, creating. He got him a little weed connect. Now he got him a dude that's got people to sell it around the city, got a nice little cover for it. So we see Kanan trying to start his own thing. Two people starting their own thing. So when Marvin finds out there's lots of money to be made up in those downtown areas of New York, Kanan got couriers that's traveling where? That's right, Manhattan, the busy cities, the downtowns of New York. And nobody's going to question couriers coming in, dropping off mail to those people that's in the Wall Street. So I could see Kanan and Marvin linking up. Kanan got the people to move it, and Marvin is going to have the clientele. Match made in heaven. Now, where does Unique fit into all this? That I don't know. I haven't worked out where Unique falls in, but him and Rock seem like they tight, but Unique a slick motherfucker, and Rock ain't for the bullshit. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I think at least this season, Unique's biggest issue is finna be Ronnie. It's finna be his brother. So he's gonna be trying to start his own thing, but at the same time, babysitting his brother and making sure he don't jam him up. But yeah, I can see the Marvin and Kanan thing, and I'm very excited for where they're going with this, because we get to see, like, the rise of all these people. Like, now we finna get to see the real Kanan get to it. See his, like, start seeing the savages turn into, because somebody gonna come up short with his money. Somebody gonna fuck with him. Somebody gonna rob one of his couriers or him, and he's gonna have to catch more bodies. We already caught some bodies, but those were like, he had to. We seen him check one nigga, pistol whipped him for what they did to Famous, but I think we finna get a bossed up Kanan for sure. So, episode two was beautiful. The transition was great. Love how they wrapped up last season. Love the trajectory of this one. Lulu, I don't think Lulu is long for this world. He out here getting drunk, screaming, fuck Rock, like, openly. Rock got no problem killing family. I don't think, we ain't seen her do it yet, but she just got that, she's got that thing where she will. I think if anybody dies, it'll be Lulu and it'll be from Rock, because fuck it. But hey. Until next week, man, protect your health, yourself, your wealth, man. Your boy Rail is out of here. Peace.
Yo, I know I don't need no introduction, but y'all know who it is, man. It's your boy Hollywood Rail. And I appreciate you for sliding through and watching these videos. But you know what I need from you? All right, if you ain't already, I need you to like this and subscribe this, man. We at 1,000 trying to get to 2, all right? Push it for your boy. Get them algorithms up. So when it come to that subscribe button.